Hello there. Good morning. It is George Watkins again on this happy Thursday. It's good to see you again. Appreciate all the faithful listeners, watchers, journey together with me. Amen. Listen, I want to revisit the last section that we had yesterday on fellowshipping in the church. Go over some points. But first of all, I want to thank you for your subscriptions and your sharing. Big, big help. This whole internet business seems to be strengthened when you give a comment or you share or you subscribe, so forth. So thank you for doing that. If you're new, just tuning in or passing by, stay for a while and see if it's something that would be a blessing to you. Often we identify with people we know or people that we've heard about or big names, famous names. And it's pretty much of a common human trait, I suppose. But when you come by an internet program and you don't know the fella or the gal, sometimes we pass them by and miss some real treasure. So stay a while. Perhaps it was the Holy Spirit that led you by this channel today. So I would encourage you to listen on, and I believe God's got a good word for you. All right, we're talking about staying free, and yesterday we spent a little bit of time on fellowshipping. I want to give a few more directive points on the gathering. Paul said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And there's so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, that particular day that Paul was referring to, obviously, had some personal effects and personal meaning to those people. We can't read those scriptures that Paul wrote and say, well, he wrote everything for us. So that didn't mean anything to those people. He was just waiting for us to come into our day. So when we saw the current newspaper report or the politics or what's coming out of Europe, we would know something. Well, don't interpret the Bible by your newspaper, please. You're going to miss a lot. I know it takes something away from us when we realize that huge amount of what the Bible is writing to is the people actually that were reading it then. But the miracle of that is that it can be overlapped and we can draw out of it because we are also children of God. But some of the local things that were happening, for instance, the warning when they saw certain signs around Jerusalem to flee. They couldn't put that off for some 2,000 years later when we saw, you know, Germany or whatever else was coming our way to run like mad. But they had to have an immediate sign. So when Titus surrounded Jerusalem, they remembered the prophecy and the church left Jerusalem and in large was not captured when Titus pulled back for some reason, he pulled back for a week, and they had an open window to escape, and they remembered the prophecy, not to come down from the rooftops, but to flee, get out of there, beat it, and they did. So when I talk about forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and there's so much more as you see the day approaching, that simply means that the principle of that is we need to have a time together with our brothers and sisters. And we need to have it on a regular basis, continual basis, and even more so as we see the day approaching. The day in general, without trying to be historic or prophetic, the day in general is those things ahead of us that the Holy Spirit sees that we don't see. And when we see them, we need the brothers and sisters around us. We need the foundational stuff. I've pastored a long time, been in several different pastoral settings, different churches where I was on a team of pastors, and I've also traveled through hundreds and hundreds of churches, and I am very much committed to the fact that we need to interact with other brothers and sisters. Don't be the Lone Ranger. Don't be hanging out by yourself or hanging out with your three favorite friends. You need to have a mixture of people. And you need to have someone in your midst that doesn't see eye to eye with you, because they're seeing something you don't see. They're having a vision of Christ and the kingdom that you haven't had yet, or maybe will never have until you get together with someone else. I was struggling with some spiritual warfare years ago, and I called my apostle. And he said, "You know, George, that there are some devils you can't break, chase off by yourself. You need the body of Christ. You need the united front coming against some types of spirits in regions and cities, so that the unity of the faith and the unity of the brothers and sisters make a difference in its almost impact and power." So today I'm talking about the purpose and the power of gathering together. And Paul said, "Don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together as you see the day approaching." Amen. The confusion of many young Christians is that they think they've been set free to do what they want, but you've been set free from the old master to a new master. You cannot live without a master. If you do, you'll slide up on the throne and be your own master, and that's sure guaranteed destruction, because you'll lead yourself off into self-delusion and destruction. Why? Because that's the human nature. The human nature cannot lead itself. That's why we've been designed to have God on the throne. And when he's not on the throne, it's either Satan and the evil, or it's us, and the conclusion is the same. So don't be confused about being free. You're not free to be doing what you want. You're free to be doing what he wants. You say, "Well, what if he doesn't want God the Father, doesn't want to do what I want to do?" That's the learning lesson. Amen. That's the lesson of knowing the Father has a plan for you that is better than your plan. A little child, the young teenager, the developing boy or girl thinks they know more than the father and mother, and they want to do it their way. But if the father and mother have strength and don't capitulate and give in to the whining and to the crying and begging, they will teach them in the way they ought to go. The scripture says, "Raise a child in the way they ought to go, and when they're old, they won't depart." Now, the way they ought to go, there's some basic principles. Don't put your hand on the hot stove. Don't play in traffic. Don't eat mud. I'm being pretty practical here, because those are practical terms. You say, "Well, how can I teach a child what to do? I might be prejudiced. I might be teaching him what I like to do." Now, there's common principles that God's put in every generation, every human heart. There's certain things we don't do. My dad said, don't you ever hit your sister. If you hit your sister, the roof's going to fall in on your head. And it did a few times. If I touched my sister with a hit of any kind, I got dealt with severely. I felt the pain of the strap. Now, when I say the strap, I'm talking about chastening. The chastening, Solomon said, "Don't spare the rod, you'll spoil the child." So, whoops, I took a left turn there. Almost lost some of you younger people that don't believe in that. Okay, back up. So my dad told me, don't you do that. If you hit your sister, you'll hit your wife. If you treat your sister cruel, you'll treat your wife the same way. If you don't respect your sister, you won't respect women. That's a principle of God. Now, why am I bringing that up? Because don't be alone. Don't be alone. You need to be in a group. So first of all, small groups are good. Small home groups, I love them. Been a great function for the last, well, long time. And especially been popularized and used very wisely in the last 40 years or so, 50 years. So Matthew 8:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Isn't that amazing? There's a promise that if we will gather together with two or three, the Spirit of God will come in a special way. Now, does that mean I'm not a Christian if I don't come together? No, no. Does that mean I can't hear from God if I don't come together? Obviously, no, because you can be in a cave or a back room or a bedroom in a car parked in the, you know, on a mountaintop, and you can have a visitation. You can have revelation. The mystics certainly have proved that over the generations and centuries where they've got alone and spent time. Moses was on the mountain, had a revelation from God. Jesus went into the wilderness by himself, came out in the power of the Spirit. So it's possible, and it's important to do that on occasion and through it, and often a lifestyle. But for you and I, as Joe and Jane Christian, just learning, walking, coming up into God, we need to gather together, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So there's a special anointing that comes. I've been in thousands of Sunday mornings, thousands of Sunday nights, and multiple midweek services. Each service has a different spiritual manifestation. Sunday night, and I say this to my sorrow, Sunday night, we're missing Sunday night in our culture because of convenience, busy people, they stop coming. We, in the early days of our church here in Mount Vernon, our Sunday nights were glorious, and 90% of Sunday morning came back Sunday night, including new ones and people that drifted by, you know. And the anointing on Sunday night was always different than Sunday morning. You cannot have a Sunday night service on Sunday morning. For some reason, there's just a difference. It's the mixture of the people. The Sunday morning crowd is not as dedicated, perhaps. Maybe there's more unbelievers. Maybe there's more baby Christians. I don't know. But Sunday night was always the time that we had more deeper teaching, heavier prayer time, more altar time, lingering around the front of the altar, praying for people in a different way, prophesying differently. Okay, so that's gone. In the American church, that's gone. But I'm just emphasizing the fact that we need together. And when we do, there's a special different anointing on different services. Okay. Now, we need to have then small groups, and we need to have, I'm looking in some of my notes out of the little book I wrote. We need to have herd protection. Herd protection is what the politicians are fussing around with, trying to ignore in this craziness we're in. There is a herd protection that comes. So what they do in their wisdom, man's wisdom, they locked everybody away and didn't want them to touch each other because they might get sick. Well, okay. You get sick and then you get well and then you don't get sick again. That's herd protection. When I went into the missionary traveling quite a bit, I started traveling to the nations. The nurse at the county health department told me about herd protection. There's certain things that we don't get anymore because everybody got it once. Polio was that way, and some of the other viruses and smallpox that went through. We are immune to it because we live in a country that has snuffed it out because we all got sick at one time. So you need a shepherd in a local church. You need someone that watches over your soul. That was what Peter referred to, wasn't it? He was accountable to God for watching over your soul. You need a shepherd. You don't need a buddy. You don't need a friend that you hang out with coffee. You need someone that's been called into that anointed ministry that has a gift to watch over your soul. And in that shepherd, as he's shepherding the flock, as he or she is shepherding the flock, God gives them insight in what to teach and preach and what kind of food to feed, what the flock needs, and so forth. Now, God wants to add also men and women to your life that can sandpaper you and pour oil on you. And you'll get, 80%, 90% of your ministry in the body of Christ, not just from the shepherd and the lead ministries. You'll get a huge amount of correction, a huge amount of encouragement from people that are in your body, sitting next to you, walking with you, praying with you, going to the picnics with you, and hanging out in the park. Amen. So I encourage you to get back into the house of the Lord. It's in the local body of the church where the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. I believe the gifts of the Spirit operate everywhere, but there's a level of the gifts of the Spirit that operate in the church differently. When the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher especially. And when the prophets gather, there's a special anointing. You don't get the prophets gathering in your Oldsmobile when you're parked, on the hill, or when you're hanging out with four of your favorite friends. The apostles don't gather there. The shepherd, the prophets don't gather there. They gather in the body, where the bodies come together. The anointing comes. The Spirit of God is differently. The prophets speak. The apostles administrate. So I encourage you, in your staying free, as we come together and we've been set free, we want to stay free. One of our mainstays is the body of Christ, the physical location where you come together with your gathering. Now, if you were in China, in Russia, in some of the other dark nations, you might have to gather under a tree. Mostly in our church, our nation, we gather in buildings or front rooms or Starbucks, but it needs to be in a place where the anointing can flow. All right. Well, this is Thursday, and I have run over my time limit, but so what? It's my time, your time. Love you guys. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for joining me every day. Some of you come by every day, some twice a week, some two or three times a month, but every time you come, I love it. And I appreciate your comments. Thank you for your support, both in prayer and in encouragement. And if God's encouraging you to send us a gift, you can do it through the PayPal and through the snail mail with a stamp. Amen. We bless you. We love you. And tomorrow's Friday, my favorite day of the week. We'll see you then. Until then, keep that sunshine of Jesus coming through your faiths.